biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
Hey, how's everybody doing out there?
I'm sure you can get louder than that.
All right. Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. And once again, we are live here at the Boulder Station Casino here inside the Kicks Lounge. And we're excited because we have two of our special guests. But before we get to them, let's see how the rest of our bad boys are doing. Sin City Steve, how you doing over there?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing tonight?
King Lucky.
I actually feel honored. You can make more noise than that for me. There you go.
All right, and Matt Michaels, how are you?
Thank you.
Yeah, you got one fan out there.
I am so broke that I can't even pay attention.
Okay, well, that's pretty broke.
Yeah, it's sad.
All right, well, we'll work on that over there, all right? We do have two of our special guests from ROH Wrestling, PJ Black, y'all. And sitting in for Simon Street, because he's under the weather. I know.
Pepsi. No, I said Pepsi. Pepsi.
Oh, okay. Oh, my God. Sitting in for him, we have Jeff Cobb. Make some noise. All right. So let's get to it.
Well, let's start it off with a little background, PJ. When you started, your dad was in the business. Your grandfather was in boxing. Is that correct?
Correct, yes.
So what was it like being someone who was around it? And I believe you were 14 when you first stepped in the ring?
Yep. I mean, technically, I did my first official match in front of people when I was 9 years old. You know, like as a kid, I used to just travel to the shows, and during intermission, I used to just jump in there with one of my friends and just mess around. And this one particular day, I can remember it vividly, and I have photos on my phone. I'll show you guys. We put these little lucha masks on, and we just did like a whole match during intermission. You know, like at 8 years old, you don't really care what's going on around you.
Right.
And when we stopped, we got like a standing ovation, and I looked around, and there was probably like 6,000 to 8,000 people sitting on the stands watching us. So I guess that was my first ever match.
And did you get in trouble for that by your dad, or was he?
No, he was. In fact, he was the MC that day, and he put it over like crazy. He's like, that was my son.
If I was him, I would have then booked that match for the next 10 years.
He actually tried to book that match at the next show, but my buddy was like, he got stage fright, and he was like, no way. He's actually a famous DJ right now, this kid.
Oh, my God, that's awesome. What point did you realize that this was going to be the profession you were pursuing?
Can you guys remember when the first Monday Night Raw video game came out? I think it was on Genesis. Was it on Genesis?
Yeah.
It was called Sega Mega Drive back in Africa. And when I played that game, I remember looking to my mom and I was like, this is what I'm going to do for a living. And she was like, that's never going to happen.
And who was your favorite character to play in that game?
Oh, I like them all. I mean, I love the Million Dollar Man. I loved all the heels from that era.
Was that one of your best influences were the heel wrestlers? And was your dad a face or a heel?
My dad was a lifelong heel. I think he tried to be a babyface one time, and the crowd just like absolutely booed him for trying to be a babyface. I've always been attracted to the colorful characters, and yeah, definitely the bad guys for sure. I don't know what it was, but like maybe it's because I grew up in the industry.
Is there a different culture of audience in South Africa?
Yes, and it evolves constantly. Right now, it's very different. South Africa is still 10 years behind the rest of the world, but we were catching up. A lot of people don't know this, but in the 80s and 90s, South Africa was actually a top territory at the time. You know, remember territories when the guys used to move around? Like, yep. I remember guys like Finley and Regal coming to stay in South Africa for like 10, 11 months at a time, working the territory. I remember seeing Hogan job to our champion, because there was no dirt sheets back then. There was no internet. I saw Andre the Giant come job to our champion. It was a completely different scene. It kind of died out in 1999 when my father passed away. But I'm trying to get that back. I just started a company there recently, and the first show is in October. And, you know, hopefully open a couple of schools around the country, because there's a lot of talent there. They just need the kids just need some guidance.
What's the name of that show for people that may be listening?
Oh, cool. The company's called Slam Force Africa. You can check it out on Instagram, YouTube, everywhere. It'll definitely stream live on Fight TV.
Awesome.
And it's October 27th. It's me versus RVD for the All Africa Heavyweight Championship.
Wow.
First time
nice.
Ever.
That's pretty awesome.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Better, right?
Yeah, when is Jeff Cobb going to make his debut for the company?
Very soon. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Jeff. Always have been. You know, to me, he's one of the best right now. And I mean, once I build it, everything rides on this first show in
right.
South Africa. If this goes well, I've already sold 2,500 tickets. So if I can do well with this show, then I get a 4 pay-per-view TV deal from the local stations.
Wow.
And then, you know, like, it all rides on this one show. And if that happens, I'm going to, you know, bring all my buddies out to wrestle. I'm going to bring the whole ROH crew out, in fact. So, yeah, got to start somewhere,
good
right?
Good juju for you. That's right. Well, we wish you well. We'll be happy to help you promote it, too.
Thank you, guys. I'll definitely take you up on that for sure.
Because we have a huge following in South Africa.
We certainly will reach there.
Right? You will now that I'm on the show.
Exactly.
I promise you.
Yeah. The UK has definitely had an uptick in listeners since we've been promoting his show.
Yeah. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, he needs a shirt. That's right.
I'm all about the free shirts lately.
Okay.
All right.
So with that show, you know, is it going to be kind of nervous for you? Have you ever ran a show before?
No, I have not. So my dad was a promoter, my granddad was a boxing promoter. So that's actually the reason I left South Africa. So my dad passed away when I was 18 years old, and everyone expected me to take over his company. And I was like, I'm 18. All I want to do is wrestle. I just want to have good matches and travel the world. So I kind of left, and I was 18 at the time. Packed a backpack, lived in Europe for a while, started training there again, you know, and just fast forward 3 years later, I got signed. But I always thought about it, and all my friends always told me to do it. They were like, your dad was a great promoter, and you kind of have some of his business qualities inside you. So it never occurred to me until recently, and, you know, I have a partner on that side, and the opportunity just popped up, and I was like, I was actually planning on doing it 5 years from now. But it popped up now, and I was like, okay, timing is right. So let's do this. And I'll put all my eggs into one basket, and let's see if I can do this.
So also with that, too, when you look at doing your promotion, you're going to perform at the show and also, you know, kind of orchestrate the show. That's got to be a little bit stressful for you, right?
Oh, man, you have no idea. Like, the running a show is the most stressful thing on the planet. Like, this week alone, I dealt with so many issues, like travel issues. And, you know, like, I got Celeste booked on it, Caitlin, and she's a vegan, so I had to arrange. And South Africa is a meat-eating country. So I got to explain to the hotel that this person does not eat any meat, so she's got to have some vegetarian options, you know. Just, I mean, that's a little thing, but, like, it adds up. All these little things add up. But it's definitely been a challenge, and it's it makes me grow as a businessman.
Yeah. Is there anything you learned from watching Vince McMahon that might influence you in helping in terms of being a promoter?
Oh, totally. I mean, Vince is the man. You know, he's a promoter, but he's a businessman first. And I've learned so much just from the business side of wrestling from him. And then the few conversations that I've had with him, I think he's a mad genius. A lot of guys don't like him, but I think he's great. He's fantastic. He has such a great, unique mind for not only wrestling, but business as a whole.
And, of course, you were known as Justin Gabriel, the clean-cut, white meat, baby face, who was a heel as part of Nexus, which really made no sense to me. But with that and going into the WWE, you are already wrestling as PJ Black. Were you lucky that did they give you the gimmick, or were you aware enough to be like, you know what, I better hold on to PJ Black because that's me?
I really wanted to be PJ Black, and at that time, and it changes constantly, like the developmental system changes constantly. At that specific time when I was there, I got there the same time as Loki and Roman Reigns and a bunch of the guys, we had to, for whatever reason, someone at the office was like, no, no one can go by one name, no one can go by their indie names. Everyone had to come up with a list of first names and last names, and they kind of like mixed and matched until we got there. It was such a stupid era. I actually came up with Justin Angel. That's a character I really wanted to do. And I guess Vince was friends with Chris Angel, so he was like, he changed it without me knowing. Like, the first time I heard of it is when they announced me to the ring for my first match. Another little funny note on that, clean cut baby face. Yeah, I was super clean cut. I think we had like a week off for Thanksgiving once, and I grew this beard, and I ran into Vince at the gym, and he's like, that's great. He goes, now you don't look like a kid anymore. You look like a kid with a beard. And I was like, okay, cool. Vince likes it, so I'm going to grow this beard. And that I haven't shaved it since. Yeah. Thank you.
That's awesome. And so obviously coming into WWE, everybody tends to remember what it was like to get the call. Where were you? Who contacted you?
I was living on a golf course at the time in the middle of nowhere in Africa, and I didn't hear anything from them, so I called the office one day, and I was like, yo, did you guys get my tapes? And they're like, yeah, we'll get back to you. And then a week goes by, and I was like, I'm just going to call them again. I was like, yo, did you get my tapes? And they're like, yeah, we actually really liked it, so this is what we're going to do for you. And I just remember, like, yelling and screaming on the golf course, and, like, some guy on the ninth hole was like, shut up. And, yeah, it was just, like, the coolest feeling in the world. Like, I haven't topped that feeling yet. Not even a WrestleMania moment topped that feeling for me.
Cobb, you've been all over the world, man. You recently just got back from a very important tournament, man. How was that?
Well, before I answer that, table nine, your nachos are ready. Thank you.
And a jackpot just hit.
Yeah. Well, I didn't win it, so I don't care. What was the question? I'm sorry. I was holding that joke in for 30 minutes.
So. That's awesome, man. The tournament, you know, how was it? How was the experience for you?
That's probably like top three bucket or top three career milestones right now. It's such a prestigious tournament, and at the same time, a very grueling tournament. I mean, I loved every moment of it. At the same time, I hated life. So, yeah, it's pretty rough, but it was great. I'd do it all over again. And in fact, next year I hope to do it again.
That's awesome. That's great.
What meant more? Wrestling there for the tournament or MSG?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. Probably the Garden. It's no disrespect to New Japan or the G1 tournament, but if you look back at history, 50 70, 80 years in the past, no other companies ran the Garden with except Vince and WWE or WWF.
Yeah.
So having an opportunity to do that, it definitely ranked. That's probably my number one, and nothing can take away that feeling too. You know, like, I mean, on the bus ride with PJ, PJ was telling me stories about his experiences at the Garden with WWE, and I was like, man, that's crazy. So, unfortunately, they dropped us off right at the entrance, so I didn't get the cool experiences that he did in the parking lot structure. That's a different story, right? But yeah. So
what's the parking lot structure story?
Oh, that's for PJ to tell. And
yeah, let's hear this.
Well, I have a few. The first time I performed at the Garden, it was in the middle. It was actually the start of the Nexus run. So they snuck us in an ambulance because no one had to know we were there. We kind of just ran in. Remember, we were just running in on the main events and beating people up. So no one could know we were there. And so they snuck us in with an ambulance. So I didn't get to experience that the first time, but that was unique too, because like, I've never even been in an ambulance up until that point.
So also too, I got a question for both of you guys. You know, you both have had so many different partners in the ring that you've, you know, kind of wrestled against and stuff like that. Who do you see, and we'll start with you, Kyle, who do you see as the best dance partner, somebody that you don't have to call any shots, you can kind of just go with the flow?
I have quite a few. Hopefully you guys know the name, Timothy Thatcher.
Oh, yes.
I've had many a matches with him where my music was playing and he showed up to the venue and we're just like, all right, see you out there. Like those kind of matches I like just for the fact that it's like it's a natural feel and progression of a match. I don't think it aired, but like the first time I ever got a chance to do one-on-one with the Mr. Black here, I think the feed had problems or a cutout, but that was definitely one of my favorite matches because first time we ever wrestled and the feed cuts out, but we came back, we're like, oh my god, that was badass, and he's like, I think I tore my lat. Like, wait, what?
I did.
But it was like when you get those moments where it's like it feels like magic, like it's just, it's great. Like it's a cool feeling. Like there's a lot of times I leave the ring, I'm like, what the hell did I get myself into? But you know, like there's a lot of times where it's not, and I cherish those moments, man.
And for you, PJ?
Do you mean like wrestling against someone or tagging?
Yeah, wrestling
tagging
against someone.
Oh yes, so many. I mean, it's different. I like, people always think that two high flyers would have a good match. You know, I particularly think it's not true. I mean, it can be true, but I feel like people with completely opposite styles have good matches. You know, that was probably the match against Cobb in Washington. That was probably one of my top five matches. But I have so many, you know, like it's been 22 years for me in wrestling. So I'd have to make a list someday. Like, but there's so many good. I mean, Tyson Kidd, he's a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. He's one of those guys that you don't even have to like call a match or plan anything. You can just go in there and do anything. And, you know, like he almost feels what you're going to do next. And you don't even have to tell him or do or say anything. You can literally just be there and react to whatever he's doing. But, I mean, there's a lot of names like that. One of the top names, John Cena, as a person, I don't care for him too much. But as a performer, I think he's one of the absolute best.
And you guys have a show coming up this weekend. ROH is going to be at Sam's Town, right? You guys are all excited for that. And we will be giving away tickets a little bit later. For this question is for both of you guys. Is there somebody on the roster right now that you haven't faced that you're pretty excited about facing coming up?
Well, I'm kind of new here, so I'm kind of just working my way through the roster. I've been lucky enough to have really good matches with like Rush and Bandido and guys like that. I came to ROH. Actually, before I signed, I looked at the roster and I was like, yep, this is the place I want to go because I had other options. And that was a deciding factor for me, looking at the roster. And I was like, yeah, I can have good matches with all of these guys. I think ROH is a fantastic roster. And there's still a few guys I haven't wrestled yet, like Jay Lethal, Matt Taven. But it's inevitable. It's going to happen one of these days.
Right.
I think for myself, like I've done multi-man matches with them, but I want that elusive singles match, and that's with Jay Lethal.
Yeah.
That's one person I haven't had, and that's the man in Ring of Honor when, like, for the past couple of years when he left Impact and came back to Ring of Honor. Like, he's been dubbed the franchise of Ring of Honor, so I mean, I would love to test myself against him.
Yeah, that's actually DJ's favorite wrestler. So if Lethal, you're listening, you would totally make this guy's day.
Well, it's gonna happen. It's definitely gonna happen.
Yeah, it definitely happened one day. But yeah, so with ROH coming up this weekend, is there one match that you're really excited about? Let's say outside of the match that you're in, PJ, are you on the?
I think I am. I forget. I kind of don't look at the card until the day, unless someone tweets me a picture. That's how I usually find out. Yeah. It's Twitter. But it's a stacked card. Like, I'm really excited about the Rouge Matt Taven match. And obviously any match that Bandido's in and any match that this guy's in, I always watch. Like, you know, there was a few years where I wouldn't say lost the passion for wrestling, but I kind of didn't watch anything unless it was like one of my friends or one of my matches. But sitting backstage at ROH now, like every single match, top to bottom, I watch the whole show. So I'm super excited about both these days.
Nice. Cop?
I don't want to sound redundant, but yeah, like the card from top to bottom looks really good. Especially that sweet pre-show match that's going on.
Yeah, buddy. And who are you fighting?
Brody King.
That's right. Woo. Brody King.
Don't cheer for that guy. He's a bad guy. He's a villain.
That's going to be a pretty stiff match.
Yeah, I'm really excited to wrestle him and, you know, to start. Like, you know, everybody, there's been a lot of backlash about, you know, like being on the pre-show. Like, I don't care. Like, I do my job. You know, like, we're going to have a great match, whether it be on the pre-show, the opener, mid-show, main event, whatever. Like, me and Brody aren't going to hold anything back. So, yeah, so nobody should complain about it.
Outside of Ring of Honor, is there somebody that's coming up or maybe that has shined the last couple of years that you're like, man, if I could have a match with that guy, is there somebody?
Oh, there's so many. I feel like wrestling is at an all-time high right now. There's so many good kids from weird countries that you would never expect. There's a lot of kids in South America, like Chile and Argentina and even Brazil. Like, you know, like kids, they just need experience, but there'll be something in the future. And the business in Australia is booming right now. A couple of fantastic, talented young kids back in South Africa. The UK has always been booming. And I feel like whenever the territory is booming, the up-and-coming kids, kind of, they have to step it up because they work with so many great international stars. I remember going to Australia after my WWE run. What was that, like 5-6 years ago? I forget. But all the kids were so, so green. Like, going back now, all those same kids are fantastic. Like, you know, because they get to work internationals all the time. And there's so many little territories like that. I mean, it's hard for me to give you one name. There's a whole list of kids that are going to do really good things in the next few years.
Awesome. And so, PJ, let's shift gears a little bit back. So the first season of Total Divas, you were linked to JoJo. The show wasn't exactly casting you in a favorable light. How much of that show is scripted? And is there a lot of the guys on the roster at that time that try to stay as far away from those reality shows as possible?
Yeah, so I'll tell you how this started. I remember seeing JoJo at TV one day, and I legit just hit on this girl. I was like, cool, she's cute. I like her. And she was like, she kept pointing to that she was wearing a mic, but I didn't really like click like that it was being recorded, whatever we were saying. So she started like texting me, and I was like, why are you texting me? You're sitting right next to me. Just in case I said something stupid, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, after that one little conversation, I asked her out on a date, and the producer comes up to me. He's like, that was really cool. Like, do you want to be a part of this show? And I was like, yeah, whatever. What do I have to do? And he was like, yeah, we'll pay for you to go on dates. I was like, I'm in. So we started going on all these dates, and like, they paid for everything. We went rock climbing. We came to Vegas for like a week, and I remember running up. Back in the day, I was still drinking. I don't drink anymore, but
I was racking up cards, like bills for like $3,000-$4,000 because the company would pay for it. I was like, this is great. And then, you know, it wasn't working out between us. And I told the producer, I was like, yo, I'm not going to fake this. Like, I know that annoyed me too. They made me refilm a bunch of scenes. You know, they're like, hey, can you wear that shirt that you wore on Tuesday? And I was like, I don't know what I wore on Tuesday. And then that just became too much. I was like, okay, this is just like a TV show. And they were telling me what to do and what to say. And I don't really like following rules. So that's why they didn't like me that much. But they did like that I spoke my mind. And out of all the dates and of everything we filmed, only the crappy stuff aired, which was so funny. So I wonder why they did that. I remember the couple of scenes that we filmed in Vegas, we probably filmed for like 5 days. And every time I ordered food from one of the restaurants or one of the pool parties, it was, I mean, there's some beautiful waitresses here in Vegas, right? What they did was they took that footage and they edited it in and made me seem like I was like this player who's just like hitting on every single girl. That was not true, by the way. But it was funny. I mean, I laughed. I was like, that's some great editing.
Well, with that hair, man, who wouldn't think you're a player?
Thank you.
And so obviously that wasn't your only foray into non-wrestling television shows. You also appeared on the Shark After Dark show on the Discovery Channel. Any thoughts on your experiences there?
That was pretty dope. So SmackDown actually ran a show. Every 4 years they'll go to South Africa. And in South Africa, I remember Baldo Tenzai. His lifelong dream or top of his bucket list was to swim with great white sharks. So he found out about the South African trip like months before it was announced, months before anyone knew about it. And he's like, hey, we're going to South Africa. You better arrange for me to swim with the great white sharks. And I was like, all right, that sounds cool. And so we kind of like did a rally in the locker room, who wants to go? And like legit the whole roster wanted to go. So I set up. The choppers picked us up at the hotel, flew us all the way to the boat, and then all of us got into the water and swam with the great white sharks. And I guess the people at Shark Week at Discovery got hold of this, and they're like, yo, you want to do the show? And I was like, yeah, great. So I flew all the way from South Africa, because Shark Week, that show was live. I flew all the way from South Africa to LA, which is like 25 hours, do the show, and then back to the road. But it was so worth it. It was totally worth it. I met so many cool people on that show. Some guys I'm still friends with today. Like one of the, I mean, I consider him a close friend now. He's a fellow South African. He's got this long, long dreadlocks. And he actually has like multiple shows on Animal Planet and Discovery and a bunch of those animal shows. And I'm actually working with him right now, setting something up for the future. Can't say too much, but it's coming.
That's awesome.
Nice.
So speaking of your daredevil instincts, tell us a little bit about your accident where you broke your legs and how you've been able to kind of get back on the horse after the accident.
Yeah, it was hard. It was 10 months of non-weight bearing. I was in the hospital for like three months, and I was in bed for 6-7 months just lying down. I couldn't do anything. I just started reading books, and I lost a lot of friends to opiates. So I refused to take any of the drugs that they gave me in the hospital. So I started reading up on holistic medicines and alternative medicines. And now that's a completely different story. But anyway, I didn't think I was. The doctor told me I was never going to wrestle again. I felt like I was never going to walk again. I remember the first steps I gave after like 10 months was in a swimming pool, and I literally cried. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. But, you know, like just like anything, you kind of, you persevere, and you just kind of do your rehab. And I ate healthy, and I didn't think I was going to wrestle again ever. And then one day I was fairly healthy, probably like 60, 70%, and I was like, let me get in the ring and see what's up. And that accident was the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, but it was also the best thing that happened to me in my life. I learned so much, you know, just in life, you know, as a person, I learned so much. I broke both my legs twice, hitting a building, the same freaking building too. And I want to go back there and jump it one more time, because I don't want the building to beat me.
You hit a building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't paddle. I doubt it jumped out at you. Like, oh, where did that come from?
Oh, man. I have all the footage of that, too. And my whole recovery process, like that whole year, I documented everything. Like, you know, like I was doing, like, I got stem cells. I got the hyperbaric chamber that I still do cryo till this day. Like, my surgeries, everything. Even the, I don't have footage of the accident, but I have something similar that my friend did the exact same thing. And I'm just going to use his footage, but I'm editing the documentary. And I know I've been saying that for the last 6 months, but I just don't have the time to finish it. So I'm handing it over to this company, and they're going to finish the documentary so people can kind of see what exactly happened to me.
What is the ultimate, you know, outside the accident, what was the ultimate jump that you ever took?
That's hard to pick one. I've done so many cool things. I've done some halo jumps from 32,000 feet with the oxygen. I've jumped Dubai multiple times. It's such a beautiful place. The Prince of Dubai is a skydiver. So, like, they have the best equipment, the best planes, the best pilots, the best of everything. Actually, Dubai is becoming like an extreme sports hub where a lot of extreme athletes are moving there. There's so much stuff to do, base jumping, skydiving, motocross, pretty much any extreme sport. I've done quite a few things. Last year in December, I had the opportunity to fly my wingsuit over the pyramids in Egypt with the Red Bull team. I could not go because I finally got booked for ROH, and I've been trying for like years to get booked. So I was like, I can always do that next year. So hopefully this year in December we'll get that jump done. And there's a few other things that I've planned on doing. I just have to kind of get around to it. Right now, like, wrestling comes first for me. So, you know, if a booking pops up or any tour comes on, that's I choose that first. So when I have free time, I'll go jump out of planes and jump off buildings and do my usual crazy stuff. I'm never going to quit that anyway. My family was like, you got hurt twice now. Yeah. It's time to quit. I'm like, no. Like, what kind of message would that send to kids? You know, I'm not a quitter. Like, if you lose a friend in a car accident, you're not going to stop driving your car. I know that's a terrible example, but
especially if you got the accident where he died.
Right.
Jeff, what's the most dangerous thing you've ever done?
Punched through a glass window.
I was there for that.
Yeah,
straight to the hospital.
And you saved the episode. You and Johnny. Thank you guys. By the way.
All right. What happened?
Well, so I think it was season two or season three, maybe.
I forget.
It was one of the seasons. I was wrestling Rey Mysterio.
And Lucha Underground.
Yes, at Lucha Underground. Allegedly, that was me. I was a fill-in. So there's if you watch this series, like where the entrance is, where they come down the stairs, behind it there's a bunch of like square panels of glass. There's like a bunch of them. So I got this bright idea. I was like, hey, what if I went for a punch and I missed and I punched this glass? And stupid me, we have special effects people that they could change it to the sugar glass.
Yeah, candy glass.
Yeah.
He chose not to.
No. Wait. There's a reason for that. Because I, like, maybe 3 or 4 days prior, I watched The Karate Kid.
Oh, no. There you go.
Now, he punched through the glass.
Right.
I forgot the bad guy's name, the bad guy sensei. He was trying to punch Mr. Miyagi. He moved. He punched the glass twice. And there was only blood. I was like, bigger than that guy? Do this. So lo and behold, we do the match, and like my fan. Or no, I'm sorry, I wasn't wrestling Rey Mysterio. I was wrestling Ray Horus.
Oh, Ray ran in.
Oh,
yeah, Mysterio ran in. I think.
I was supposed to run in, or Ray was supposed to run in after, and I went for the punch, and it was a sweet duck, and I was like, I got this. Boom, easy. Ow, my knuckles hurt. Whatever. And I pull my hand out. I'm like, all right, cool. Next spot. And the referee. Oh, it was Marty Elias. I see his face, and his eyes are just bug-eyed. I'm like, what's going on? And he's looking at my hand. I look down, and I'm like, and I'm shooting, squirting blood.
Oh,
I was like, oh, that's not good. I just cover it up. I'm like, it's just a little nick. I'm good. And then we're supposed to do this other, after I missed the glass thingy, we're supposed to do this next spot or whatever that they wanted to do. And I was like, all right, cool. And I move my hand, and it starts squirting again. I'm like, oh, that's not good. And I covered that up. And then I was like, oh, if I pass out up here, they got to drag my heavy ass down the stairs into the ambulance. So I was like, I got to go. So, like, the trainer rushed me up the back and all that. The funny story was they didn't even tell Rey Mysterio about that. They took me away. He's, like, waiting, like, when's my cue? And I'm getting drug out the backside or whatever. And then they took me into, like the downstairs catering area. And I'm sitting there with, like, the ambulance, and I'm watching the TV, and I see PJ and Mundo in the ring with their asses hanging out. Like, was that supposed to happen to me? They saved me, though, so thank you, guys.
So I guess Rey was already in the ring, like, Rey waiting for his segment, and, like, there was no way to communicate to him because Marty Elias, that has the earpiece, was with him.
Oh, man.
So the guy, the producers in the back, they were just like, you and Johnny go and just do something. I'm like, what do you guys want us to do? I'm like, just be you guys. Speaking of Karate Kid, that's what our characters were actually based on. We were based on the Cobra Kai.
Ah,
that's so we were like, okay, let's just go be douchebags out there. And we just ran in, and Rey was like, what the hell is this? And we're like, just go with it. And we put together this little sequence, and I remember Rey giving us both 619s at the same time, and both of us, like, did backflips out of the ring. Just, like, oversold everything. But yeah, I guess the crowd went home happy, and Jeff is still with us, so that's great.
Yeah, yeah. And I got a double pay because we had to refilm the scene, so
cool.
Nice.
Thank you, guys. So, yeah, but, well, I mean, that, you know, the internet people were very upset. They're like, oh, man, they're making them do unsafe working environments and all that. I was like, no, I did it myself. That was my fault. Like oh, he's going to die, or he's severed tendon like Goldberg. Like, oh, I had 5 stitches. I was fine. I was back in, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So, PJ, going back to more of your Daredevil-type injuries, obviously in 2017 you lost part of a finger, and thankfully it was able to be reattached. Yep. What was the story behind that?
That was the same jump I broke my legs on. Lost piece of the finger, and I remember it had hurt so much, and I could see this little bone. And I remember holding it in my hand because I didn't want to lose the finger. And I remember, like, my leg was hurting too, but I didn't care. I kind of, like, walked onto it to get to the car, to the ambulance. But all I cared was, like, it's my finger. And then I have a steel pin in here, and they reattached it. And it was a female doctor, and she was fantastic, by the way. It was in South Africa too. She said that 99% of the time that wasn't savable, if that's a word. And so I was very, very lucky. She had it reattached, and it took about probably 2 years for me to get the feeling back in this. I mean, I don't think it'll ever be 100%, but I can lift weights and I can use it again.
Wow.
And you want to keep jumping?
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of fun. Okay. It's like meditation to me.
Yeah.
Base jumping is like, it's so hard to explain to people because people think that adrenaline junkies are just yahoos that just want to, like, you know, like, ah, rush and, like, mm-hmm. get that adrenaline spike. For me, it's something completely different. Like, it's the most calm thing in the world. Like, standing on the edge of a building and looking down, you know, it's not like jumping out of an airplane where you hear the noise and, like, the wind and stuff like that. You're completely present in that moment, because if you think of stuff that you have to do tomorrow, or bills that you have to pay, or, like, stuff that bothered you yesterday, you can die. So you have to be completely present in that moment. So it's kind of like a forced meditation for me.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm going to go into a little bit of some wacky questions here.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
All right. For either of you guys, at any point in your life, did you ever walk on into your parents' bedroom while they were doing it?
Did he just go there?
my
that's a yes.
But
it happens.
My dad was a wrestler. My parents got divorced when I was 2, and I won't tell you this exact story, but I won't tell you this. So I went to my mom and I was like, "Yo, why did you guys get divorced?" And she was like, "Your dad was just—he was famous. He was a wrestler, and girls loved him." I went to my dad and I was like, "Hey, why did you guys get divorced?" And he's like, "I had to choose between wrestling and your mom. I do miss her sometimes."
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
For
Jeff, what would be the first thing you would do if you woke up one day as a woman?
Think about it. Think about it.
Well, I don't want my answer to trigger some people. That's my new word now. It's trigger.
Right.
You can blame Bill Burr and his stand-up special, but I don't know. I mean, probably stand in the mirror and just like poke around and stuff. Like, I don't know.
Good answer.
You gotta ask PJ that one too.
Oh, that's tough. I don't know. I'll probably head to the strip club and make some money.
Hey,
there you go.
I couldn't do that.
Hustler.
This bottom. All
right. Each of you, what is your worst habit?
I have a crazy sweet tooth. Once I start eating sweets, I cannot stop. So actually, right before this podcast, I was Googling. There's a place in the mall called Dope. Spelled like donut, but dope. So I'm already going to stop there tonight. Like, that's a terrible habit, you know, like, especially when I'm trying to watch my figure and like trying to get into shape. Like, I have a crazy sugar addiction.
I have that same habit.
Yeah. You don't have to take off your shirt in front of millions of people every weekend.
We need to find out what time they close. We get you over there.
I know, right? I think it's 24 hours, actually.
Nice.
What's your worst habit, Jeff?
I'm kind of getting over, like, I bite my nails a lot. Like, huh. Yeah. I don't know, that's a disgusting habit. Don't start, kids. Or adults.
Yeah. Have either of you guys had a wardrobe malfunction in the ring?
Plenty, plenty. In fact, when I got to the U.S., I was doing this kind of, like, stripper porn star gimmick.
You're not doing that now?
No. And I had these really tiny, tiny shorts. And I remember these shorts, there was nothing on the side except for like these three buckles. And they kept getting undone during the matches. So I ended up super gluing together. So if you super glue, or what do you guys call it, crazy glue, right?
Yes.
If you crazy glue like plastic, like two plastic things to each other, for some reason it explodes. So in the middle of this match, I remember wrestling Lance Hoyt, and it just exploded. And I got to the back, and Dusty and Steve Kern, they were like, yeah, I don't think Vince is going to like that gimmick, so just get bigger trunks for now, and we'll take it from there.
Jeff, you've never...
Nope, I wear a singlet.
You wear the singlet, yeah.
Yeah, thank goodness.
What, for each of you, is the most illegal thing you've ever done?
Uh-oh.
I cannot tell you that because I will legit get arrested if I tell you.
What is the next to most illegal
thing? Statute of limitations, man. You got, like, there's a window.
I know, but it's legal in some countries, so it's kind of like a gray area. It wasn't, we were on tour, and I've already said too much. So
we're on tour. Done.
No. Jeff, you're too clean for anything.
Yeah.
Really,
yeah. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know.
All right. Well, I know this one you'll be able to answer, Jeff. What Disney character would you most likely want to make out with?
Oh. Are these questions you'd made yourself, or how does this work?
Of course.
Okay. Oh, man. Let's see. There's a lot of Disney characters that are pretty darn attractive out there.
I'm going mermaid all day long, man.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. It's like a fish.
No comment.
Yeah, she's half fish, man.
Yeah, no legs. You have no legs.
I mean, there's so many Disney princesses, right? There's, like, tons of them.
Well, it doesn't have to be a princess.
Okay,
I mean,
the sister of the Frozen chick.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
I
thought you were going to say Elsa.
Yeah.
No, well, it can't be. Yeah. That's how you get Elsa. You go for the other one, and they're like, then she gets jealous. And she's like, well, I'm cool, too. Look.
I kind of would do the snowman myself, but that's...
Snowman.
Yeah, you know.
And
that's a dude.
Right. It's snow.
It's still a
still
snow
a dude.
Man.
It's okay. It's 2019. That's okay, right. Man.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
you can have whatever you want.
Hey, now, mind you, there's nothing wrong with choosing the snowman. Don't want anybody to get triggered. Snow person.
Yellow snow.
All right. Have either of you received a nude selfie from someone in the business? And if who is it from?
I got one from Finley. He was pooping. We were in Japan and we're like, hey man, like we're gonna go eat. I was like, hurry up, I'm hungry. And he sent me a selfie of him and pooping. I'm like, well, that's about another 15 minutes wait.
Not so much a selfie, but I think every single person has a naked photo of Hornswoggle on their phones. There's a couple of me floating around, not completely naked, in the shower. I'm covering it up. I forgot who took it, but like, I'm sure you can Google it. And Alex Riley posted it on his Twitter the other day. And I was like, come on, man. Like, that's what's wrong with you?
Also, as a rib, I got, I'm sure most of you have seen it, like a naked picture of Brian Knobb's asshole. Oh. I don't know why that's floating around the internet, let alone my friends. Like, don't do that, guys.
Right. And finally, biggest celebrity crushes.
I don't have any. I'm in a committed relationship.
You don't want to trigger anyone.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that same answer, but... No, it changes all the time, you know, for different reasons. Like when I was young, it was Carmen Electra for sure.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
I don't know. Yeah, like it changes every like for the longest time. It was like the whole Pitch Perfect cast.
Sure. Absolutely, man.
Even Fat Amy.
Oh yeah, why not?
Again, I don't want to trigger anybody.
No, Anna,
no, she's cool.
Anna Kendrick, you can't go wrong. I mean, that whole cast, yeah.
Do you know, Rusev's wife was on Pitch Perfect? Yeah. She was on the first
That's
one.
That's right, yeah.
And the second one. And a third one. I didn't see her in the third one.
Oh, wow.
Was it Lana?
Yeah. Lana, yeah. Yeah, well, she, you know, she was an actress before she went down to Florida. That was what she was doing and pursuing, and then... look where she went from there. So, you
off
still
of TV,
huh?
Off of TV.
Off of TV, exactly. Exactly. Okay, PJ. This is a very important moment in the show. It's time for Fuck, Marry, Kill Nexus Edition.
Oh. Yes.
So. Your three choices, Wade Barrett, David Otunga, and Ryback.
Oh, man.
Slater. Yeah, Slater should be in there.
Choose your words wisely. Ryback lives in Vegas.
I know. I actually spoke to Ryan a couple of minutes ago. Man, that's tough, too. Otunga helped me out a lot. I was his first... ever a wrestling match, actually. And
wow.
I remember Steve Kern liking that match so much that, like, yeah, you guys are going to do it again tomorrow. But 15 minutes. Just do roll-up pins for 15 minutes. And we did. And he's legit a lawyer, too. So he wrote me a letter that actually got me a green card to stay in the U.S. So
that's awesome. Wow.
Nice.
That's a big deal. I owe him for that. Yeah. So let's see. I guess I'd have to marry him.
Yeah, you gotta marry him. Yeah. Pretty much.
That's a responsible thing to do.
Let's see. Probably kill Wade because he's like the biggest threat to me. And yeah.
Yeah, that only lose one option.
I guess so.
Did we just trigger something, Jeff?
No, you triggered a visual over my head, like a little cloud.
All right. And really quick, since we have you here, PJ, and we have you here, Jeff, we're going to do something. I'm going to ask you both five different questions that are related to citizenship in the United States for Jeff and South Africa for PJ. Let's see how civically minded you guys are. All right, here we go. So, first question, PJ.
Let's study for this.
What does SOWETO stand for?
SOWET?
SOWETO.
Oh, that's a country in South Africa.
Soweto.
Yeah. And it stands for something, though.
Oh, it does? I have no idea. I didn't know that.
Southwestern Townships.
Oh, wow. Learn something new
there
today.
There you go.
It's such a weird country because if South Africa is like this, Soweto is like in the middle. And that's kind of like you guys have Indian reservation land in the U.S., right? So that was the first place that casinos were actually legal. So that's where people gamble and started growing weed for the first time. And
all right.
It's an interesting little country. It's like a state by itself now.
So that's where I should go when I go to South Africa.
Totally. It's very dangerous right now, but it's a fun place.
He is a Vegas bad boy.
Yeah, it's worth it for the weed. All right, Jeff. Why does the American flag have 13 stripes?
I believe that's the 13 original colonies.
There we go.
Boom.
All right, look at that.
Showing up.
That was a history minor, by the way.
Boom.
All right, PJ, what's the largest game park in South Africa?
Kruger National Park.
There you go. Ooh.
That's where I lost my virginity. I said that out loud, I'm sorry. Long story.
Lion, tiger.
Flying tiger or bear.
Tiger?
Yeah. Next question. Jeff, where did you lose your virginity? All right, Jeff, who is the Chief Justice of the United States right now?
Do I get points for just making a word a name up?
Let's see if it's a good enough word.
Sarah Palin?
That's not even like points for effort. That was just horrible.
Can I phone a friend or a lifeline? No clue.
That's on the Supreme Court. It's the Chief Justice is John Roberts. So you guys are tied at one apiece. Question for you, PJ.
It's my second choice.
Nelson Mandela spent 18 years in prison on this famous island.
Robben Island.
There we go.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Now, Jeff, in the U.S., what is the supreme law of the land?
Thou shalt not kill.
Can an audience member help him out?
Sure.
Ooh.
Anyone in the audience know? Yeah, Mark. The Constitution is correct.
Oh, that was my third choice. On a side note, wait, okay, can we pause real quick?
Yeah.
So I'm a huge, I love, the Mandela effect and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So there's people that think he died in prison and people think he didn't die. So, PJ, what is your recollection?
There's a bunch of different stories. He definitely did not die in prison because he just died, 10 years ago, I think, in his home in Houghton. He has a beautiful home. His family still lives there.
Wow.
If you ever go to South Africa, I'll take you. So he definitely did not die in prison. But that's where that phrase comes from, the Mandela effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you guys ever heard of that?
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. In the wrestling terms, we call it the Ultimate Warrior effect.
All right, Vegas bad boys. Bernstein Bears or Bernstein Bears?
Personally, Bernstein.
Steen.
Okay. Just check it.
All right. So, PJ, how many languages are recognized in South Africa?
I think it's 11 or 12 maybe now.
11.
11.
11 still, yep. All right, Jeff, what are the first three words in the U.S. Constitution?
These are hard.
Jack Swagger.
We the people?
Yeah, all right.
And I'm learning so much today.
PJ, final question. How many state capitals are there in South Africa?
State capitals? four?
Close, three.
Three.
Oh. Yep.
Keeps changing. I've been gone for 10 years.
Yeah, exactly. And Jeff, you're
50.
Fine.
Beat him to it.
Oh, wait. Got him. That's not the question.
No, very actually a more simple question for you. Who killed JFK?
The government.
That is actually correct. The correct answer. That's what we were looking for.
Lee Harvey Oswald did not shoot JFK.
All right, well, I think we're going to hand it over here to King Lucky, and let's do a little game that King Lucky likes to play.
It's time for Lucky's Lucky Sevens. Be careful what card you pick.
Joker.
You pick the card. Jack. You get the question. Good luck.
All right, pick a number 1 through 7. We'll start with Jeff.
3.
Oh, I was going to pick that one.
All right. Do you want me? Well, it's your, it's your segment. You can read the question. Okay. Well, I get, all right. Let me get the questions up here. Number 3.
Rumor has it.
Rumor has it.
There you go. All right.
Sound just like him.
Number 3. How did you come up with your finisher, Jeff? Why did you give it the name it has? And who was the first person to take it?
I stole it from one of my buddies that owns the new company in Hawaii currently, Us Wrestling. He used it as a throwaway move, and I said, that's pretty cool. I'm going to steal that. And he was only doing it to guys like 130, 140, so I was like, I think I can do it to heavier guys. Called it the Tour of the Islands because I think it's funny because people in Hawaii don't like the white folk that much. Well, not all of them. The ones that come over, ones that come over and buy up all the property and raise a gallon of milk to $6. So I call it the Tour of the Islands because, like, you know, you visit Hawaii and then you send them away. The first person I gave it to, probably Joey Ryan. Wow. And then he told me that's a cool finisher and I should make that my finisher.
Nice.
That was like my big fallacy.
Nice. Awesome.
And UPJ, pick a number.
Pick a number and no seven. Three. Three's
no
out.
No three.
Seven.
Seven? Oh, shit. All right. UP. Unfortunately, it's the luck of the draw. Here's the question. What was JoJo like in the bedroom?
What if I picked that number?
We didn't expect you to be here, and I didn't expect seven to get picked.
Good answer.
She's a sweetheart. She's a good kisser.
All right. All right. All right.
A gentleman never tells.
That's right.
Exactly. All right. Well, there you have it. You guys have survived the lucky seven.
Yeah. Well, you may have survived Lucky Sevens, but PJ, we're going to do some quick word association. You don't have to confine it to one word.
Okay.
I'm going to throw out some names from the business, and we're going to do it for 70 seconds. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right.
Sin City Steve, 70 deadly seconds starts now.
Doug Williams.
Legend.
Mikey Whiplash.
Funny guy.
Brian Cage.
Machine.
Johnny Curtis.
Dan Dick Dancer.
Tyson Kidd.
Heart Foundation.
Angelico.
Jacking my style.
Jack Evans.
Legit my favorite wrestler on the planet.
John Morrison.
Probably one of the best wrestlers on the planet right now, all around.
Nick Aldis.
Good promo skills.
Wade Barrett.
Fantastic promo skills.
David Otunga.
Also pretty decent promo skills.
Mark Haskins.
Mark Haskins, one of my favorite Brits right now.
Leo Kruger.
The fake South African.
And last but not least, Jeff Cobb.
Jeff is the freaking man. Aloha.
Awesome.
Good answer. Good answer.
You survived, man.
Do I get a prize? What do I win?
The undying adulation of the crowd.
I'll take that. I'll take that. We're in Vegas, right? So always bet on black.
That's right. What's up, y'all? This is Sin City Steve. Just urging you to join us, the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting, as we are going to be at ROH, Death Before Dishonor, on September the 27th, live from Sam's Town here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Bell time is 6 p.m., and the very next night, September the 28th, there will be a live international TV taping. Again, September 27th and 28th, live at Sam's Town. Come check out Ring of Honor.
Hey, this is Camille.
Hey, this is referee Robert King.
Make sure you follow the NWA at NWA on Twitter and Instagram.
Please check us out. If you don't have tickets, check out NationalWrestlingAlliance.com.
Especially since we have our first ever TV tapings coming up September 29th and October 1st in Atlanta, Georgia. So you can get your tickets. You don't want to miss out.
This is DJ Impact with the Vegas Bad Boys. WWE SmackDown Live is coming to Las Vegas, Nevada, Friday, October 11th at 4:45 p.m., located at the T-Mobile Arena. Come watch your favorite superstars, Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, Charlotte Flair, Randy Orton, your SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, and your WWE Champion, Kofi Kingston. Buy tickets at Access.com. Great seats available for a low price. So come hang with WWE Friday, October 11th. And of course, your Vegas Bad Boys will be in the building.
This is John Thorne, owner of Absolute Intense Wrestling, here to tell you about our next upcoming event. It will be our 200th show taking place in Akron, Ohio, featuring the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. Tickets available now at shop.aiwrestling.com.
Meltzer is a journalist.
Well, we're just the entertainment.
You're listening to Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
We're back with Vegas Bad Boy Live at Boulder Station Hotel and Casino, Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the Kix Lounge.
All right, so, folks, if you have any questions for Jeff or PJ, this is your time. Come on up. The microphone is hot and it's ready for you. What questions do you have?
We'll take three apiece.
Bring it on. Any questions?
Get on up there, Shant.
Oh, here we go. Hey, all Shant. Right.
There's Shant.
Damien Drake's new shirt.
Oh, oh. All right.
I put the link for Cobb's shirt, man. You got the wrong idea.
All right, so this one is for PJ. PJ, how scared are you to hit that 450 splash every time you try to hit it?
Go ahead. To be honest, that was the first thing I learned on the trampoline when I was like 10 years old. So I think my body just is on autopilot when I do it. I never ever get scared. I never even think about it. When I stand on the top rope, I legit just close my eyes and jump, and my body does it.
Excellent. That's any awesome. Other questions? Come on.
Mark's coming up here.
This is inspired from Chicago from a few weeks ago. What do you guys think of Game Changer Wrestling? GCW?
What about it?
What do you guys think of it?
Oh, I'm a huge fan of all wrestling. I watch as much wrestling as possible right now. I'm trying to, you know, like a few years ago, you know, like when people had movesets, no one would ever come close to them. I feel like people just jack each other's stuff these days. And if you can't beat them, join them. So that's how I find a lot of my movesets from companies like that.
We have any other questions?
Oh, there we go. All right.
Jeff, I don't think they asked you earlier, but how or why did you get started with wrestling, or what brought up you starting wrestling?
Well, it's because of the Pictionary guy, Drew Hulk Hogan. He's what got me into wrestling. The bright colors, the saying the prayers, eating the vitamins. FYI, Hogan, if you're listening, you owe me $6.95, because those things didn't get me big at all.
Can I follow up and ask you how old you were when you started?
When I started pro wrestling?
Oh. You already did the Olympics, right?
Yeah, I was like 26 or 27. Yeah.
Yeah, not a bad age to get into it, too. I mean, that's, you know, I think that some of the guys who get into it right at that time, they're already, you're a good example of this, too. You're already starting to mature a little bit more, so you're not thinking that you're the hottest shit going into it.
Yeah, I think if I started, I was like a little immature younger, so if I started younger, I probably wouldn't be wrestling now.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Don't be shy. You look like you got one. Come on up.
Bud. Yeah, don't be shy. Everybody just look at him.
This is for you guys. What's like a good bodybuilding workout?
There's so many. It depends what you want to do. Build some muscle.
Yeah, just build some muscle.
You know, honestly, what you do, the work you put in the gym, equates to less than 15%. It's really what you eat. It's nutrition most of all, you know. So high protein diet, and obviously you gotta supplement that with weight training and stuff like that. But just start somewhere. For a lot of guys, it's intimidating going to the gym at first, you know. Just you have to start somewhere. I promise you, you'll get addicted to it, because there's no better feeling than walking out the gym, even if you had the worst workout in the world, even if you did nothing, even if you just did a couple of push-ups. There's something about going to the gym that's kind of meditative, and just definitely start somewhere.
Thank you.
Is it for pro wrestling?
No, just for muscle.
Oh, I was about to say, it's an upper body game, brother.
Oh, it don't matter. It's just.
It'd be anabolic steroids, and you can see me in the parking lot.
I've also heard beaver tranquilizers work well. Is that true?
I don't know. Hogan probably still owes you for those, too.
Yeah, come to find out, those aren't the vitamins he was taking. Oh, man.
All right, any other questions? Nope. Going once, going twice. And closed. From the internet, St. Clinton on Twitter wanted to know, PJ, where do you see yourself in 5 years, and how much longer do you have left in your bump card?
That's a great question. If you asked me that 5 years ago, I would have had a completely different answer. But right now, I think I'm 5 years away from my prime. Mm. My dad did his best work between 40 and 45. So I'm thinking, if I can keep my body healthy and if I'm anything like him, that's something I have to look forward to. But you never know. You know, your bump card, you never know. It's something you cannot predict. I mean, I take really good care of myself. I recently got stem cells done. I have a rolfing coach. I have a trainer now. I have, all these things that I never had when I was younger.
That's because you moved to L.A.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to wrestle for as long as my body would allow it. Right now, I feel great. So I'm looking forward to the next 5 years.
And, Jeff, when's your retirement match?
I always told myself I was going to quit when I'm 40. But I don't know. If the money's still coming in, then I can't complain. I'm definitely not going to be like Ric Flair and wrestle until I'm 60 or however old he is. But, nothing against that. I don't know. I just, as long as my body holds up and I'm making money and making a living, I guess.
And having fun.
And having fun, yeah. Because why would I want to get punched and kicked in the face for fun? if I'm not having fun.
Well, speaking of having fun, each of you, is there a rib that stands out as a favorite rib that was ever played on you or that you pulled?
I can write a book on ribs. So in South Africa, it was tradition for everyone who went on the road for the first time or had their first match to run through a toll gate naked. So since my dad was the promoter and the booker, everyone thought that he was going to take it easy on me. I did that probably like 7 or 8 times. Because every the following week I would do it, and then the following weekend would come, and they were like, hey, it's your turn. I'm like, I just did that last week. And my dad was like, I don't remember that. I did that a bunch of times.
Jeff, did you ever run naked through a toll booth?
7 or 8 times?
Only 3, but it was on the Bay Bridge in San Francisco. And I've never run naked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's something you're going to have to try one day.
No, I'm good, man.
Bucket list.
Thank you, though. No.
Any ribs you've ever...
Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
Wow, man.
You know who's the rib king? Is Tyson Kidd. And apparently Owen Hart was a ribber too.
Yeah.
Like we all heard the stories. Like Tyson is just like him.
Dude. Really?
Yeah. He has a prank call app on his phone where he can call someone's phone from anyone else's number. And I've sat next to him while he called Honky Tonk Man, Knob, Sags, Hogan even once. Like he's made so many prank calls. Like every time I get a weird call, that's the first thing I go. I'm like, TJ, is this you? And people are like, what?
You know, speaking of TJ, I think this is one of those things that, you know, he's such a good mind, and he was very good in the ring. Do you think sometimes that guys like TJ, who didn't get the spotlight, but are transferring it into now a secondary career, Joey Mercury is another guy, you know, is it one of those things where it's a blessing sometimes to kind of have, even though you have the passion to be in the ring, to have it kind of cut short so that you can actually start pushing on that knowledge to other people who might go on to become the next Rock or the next, you know, something?
Yeah, it's got to be tough, you know, because, I mean, that's all TJ ever wanted to do,
yeah,
is be in the business. And I don't think he ever imagined this happening that soon. Also, he's been wrestling for a really, really long time, same as me. And he's only been injured twice in his whole life wrestling. And I remember the first time he got injured, me and him were tagging, and he tore all the ligaments in his knee.
Yeah.
And he finished the loop. He finished three more matches. And he's like, yeah, I'll go see the doctor on Monday. Turns out he wasn't even supposed to walk. So he's a really tough guy. So I know that it was very tough for him to, you know, like, not be able to wrestle anymore. But, like, when he got the job as an agent, I remember he was so stoked because he just loves being around the boys and he loves being on the road, you know, because his wife is on the road, all his friends are on the road. He literally has no one outside of wrestling friends. Maybe he does. I don't know. I don't know. But he just loves being on the road. I mean, he loves wrestling. He loves putting matches together. I'm sure it sucks that he cannot be in there performing, but he's still living his dream.
Yeah. Jeff, do you ever see yourself, when you decide to hang up the tights, and I don't even say pro wrestling, but do you see yourself maybe going into Greco-Roman coaching and maybe even like high school coaching or college coaching?
Yeah, I mean, that's why I stepped away, because like for pro wrestling, all our shows are usually Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
For amateur wrestling, that's when all the meets and tournaments are.
Yeah.
So when I moved to California, I was looking into that, but then like I don't want to half-ass it with the kids, you know, like,
yeah,
you invest so much time. There's no money in it, but you know, you're investing your time in it. I'd much rather do that than coach pro wrestling. I have no patience for that.
So. What was the most brutal thing either of you had to do in training?
Promos.
Good answer.
I don't know. It's different things through different stages of my life, you know. I mean, when I moved to the U.S., FCW was the main developmental territory at that time. It was super tough because, you know, on the indies, you wrestle on weekends. Now I'm getting paid. This is like my full-time job. And it was like, it was 7 days a week. There was no off days. Like, we trained 2-3 hours on the mat, like an hour promo character stuff with Dusty. We would go to the gym. You know, I'd get home sometimes for like an hour, and then I have to go to the show. And that was tough, but it was also like the most rewarding thing in wrestling for me. That was the most fun time for me in wrestling. It was my 10 months in developmental. Because like I moved to a foreign country. I didn't have a car. I didn't have rent to pay. I didn't even have a phone back then. Legit, someone picked me up at my house, dropped me off at the academy, and we wrestled every day, and yeah, I got paid to play with my friends every day.
Yeah, well, I mean, to go off of that, like, I think the hardest thing I've ever done in wrestling is just betting on myself.
Yeah.
Like, for the longest time, like, I always had a job, and, like, I was working at a school, and I was like, but, and then moving from Hawaii, well, shoot, moving from Hawaii, it's like paradise to do this wrestling thing, jeez. But, yeah, like, yeah, moving from Hawaii to California to just to bet on myself, and then working jobs to offset the, you know, you start off, you're making $20, $10 here, $20 there, and then, you know, just to work my way up, and then not and being able to do this full time. So, you know, just getting out of your comfort zone is like the main thing.
The hardest thing in wrestling is the traveling.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't realize that, but like a lot of guys, that's how they get injured. You know, like you do a show, you drive 3-4 hours to the next town. Do the show, drive 3-5 hours to the next town. Do the show, fly 10 hours to the next town. And it's like, you know, like you have an adrenaline rush, and then you sit like this in a car, your muscles get tight, your joints get tight, and that's how most guys get injured.
Yeah.
Like, I remember my first year on the road in WWE, I had 310 matches. I slept in my own bed one night a week. It was just enough to, like, check my mail, wash my dirty knee pads, and then go back on the road. That's tough. Especially if you have a family. That's super tough. Like, I see guys like Randy and a lot of the guys with kids and families, and that has to be tough. Like, I don't have a family, so for me it was fun. I mean, it's still hard for me, but, like, I can imagine how hard it was for them.
Has it gotten any easier on you as you've gotten older?
A little bit easier because I'm better at traveling and I have way more air miles now, so I get upgraded all the time. I get to hang out in the fancy lounges. And
thank you, Delta.
It is a fun part. It's a hard part, but it's also fun. Like, I've wrestled in 63 countries now, 48 states. I'm missing Vermont and Montana, and that was all wrestling. Like, I legit have never paid for a plane ticket in my whole life. So wrestling has paid for me to see the world. So as hard as that is, it's still one of the coolest things.
Since it's Montana and what was it?
Vermont.
So are you going to then, if you're successful in South Africa, are you going to just, like, start two quick promotions in there so you can just wrestle two matches?
Oh, yeah. I even before I started this company, I was like, yo, is there a ring somewhere? Because Flip Gordon is from Montana, and they had a show there a while back, and I was trying to get on it. And I was like, if it doesn't happen, then I'm just going to run my own show. Even if there's only 10 people in the crowd, it still counts.
So my goal, cool. I have a side goal, is to wrestle in every state and wrestle in as many countries as I can and every continent. Now, myself and Matt Cross have come up with the idea of having a first live stream pay-per-view in Antarctica.
Ooh.
We thought about this. We're going to, PJ, if you want
in.
On.
I'm in.
Let's
I'm
do
in.
It.
Yeah, let's
we'll
do
wrestle
it.
For some scientists and some penguins. But who wouldn't want to get aboard that? Like, oh my gosh, this is a, I'll sponsor this. It'll be live stream from Antarctica. You know how many people are going to buy that stuff? At least 8.
Well, if it's on Fight TV, maybe 10.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Or what's the time zone there? It has to air like 2 in the morning or something.
People stay up for Japan. Come
that's
on,
true.
Now. Like, it's,
that's true.
It's totally fine.
With that being said, Lucky, Steve, anything to add?
Well, this Friday night, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to be there. I can't wait to see you guys perform.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this weekend shows. Like, there's a couple of matches that I'm looking forward to myself. Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hopefully see you guys all there.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
And we want to give thanks once again to Boulder Station here and Ring of Honor for providing us with tickets to give away for the pay-per-view and for the Saturday TV tapings. If you guys get a chance, please check out Ring of Honor. Even if it's not a live show, watch the television program, because there's a lot of good things going on with Ring of Honor right now. And it's a shame that it doesn't get all the attention, because the shiny new toy is coming out on October 2nd. And Impact now got a little... push because of the fact that they're going to Access TV. But ROH has been solid now for what will soon be 2 decades. You know, if you think about that, and, you know, I think about when I was training, you know, it was WWE, WCW, and there was nothing else. That was it. It was just, you know, the smaller places. And now you have so many opportunities, and you guys work your ass off, you know, every single time that you guys go out there. And I think that it's just something that people should get behind and really kind of to give the appreciation back to you guys for going out there. You know, of course, you guys are doing what you love, but the product shows that you guys love what you do.
Word.
Yeah, no, it's true. I agree. There's some really good stuff at ROH. I mean, we have a fantastic roster right now. I mean, just top to bottom, there's some really, really good guys. And I like that ROH gives us the creative freedom, which, you know, I've worked for a lot of TV companies before, so this is a completely different feel. It's a completely different style. They focus on the wrestling aspect. And, you know, sometimes it changes all the time. You know, like, think of we had this conversation earlier, the biggest characters in wrestling, they weren't necessarily the greatest athletes or performers in the ring.
Yep.
But now wrestling has evolved. Like, all these kids that are so good in the ring are really good with character stuff and promos. And I feel like ROH is just bringing all that together right now.
Yeah. And worst comes to worst, take whatever the hell PCO is on.
No.
All right, with that said, thank everybody for coming out tonight. We really appreciate you all. Don't forget to attend this Friday and Saturday shows. And most importantly, tell your friends to subscribe to our podcast if you haven't done so yet. The Darewolf drink is still available. Again, we thank Boulder Station and Kicks Lounge. We'll see you next month.
Thank you guys.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.